Because mindfulness, which can be thought of as an open-hearted, moment-to-moment, non-judgmental awareness, is optimally cultivated through meditation rather than through just thinking about it, and because its most elaborate and complete articulation comes from the Buddhist tradition, I've chosen to say some things here and there about Buddhism and its relationship to the practice of mindfulness. I do this so that we might reap some understanding and some benefit from what this extraordinary tradition offers the world at this moment in history, based on its incubation on our planet over the past 2,500 years. You might think of the Buddha as a genius of his age, a great scientist, at least as towering a figure as Darwin or Einstein, who, as the Buddhist scholar Alan Wallace likes to put it, had no instruments other than his own mind at his disposal, and who sought to look deeply into the nature of birth and death and the seeming inevitability of suffering. In order to pursue his investigations, he first had to understand, develop, and refine, and learn to calibrate and stabilize the instrument he was going to use for this purpose, namely his own mind, in the same way that laboratory scientists today have to continually develop, refine, calibrate, and stabilize the instruments that they employ to extend their senses. In taking on this challenge, the Buddha and those who followed in his footsteps took on exploring deep questions about the nature of the mind itself and about the nature of life. Their efforts at self-observation led to remarkable discoveries. They succeeded in accurately mapping a territory that is quintessentially human, having to do with aspects of the mind that we all have in common, independent of our particular thoughts, beliefs, and cultures. Both the methods they used and the fruits of those investigations are universal and have nothing to do with any isms, ideologies, religiosities, or belief systems. Meditation is everywhere. Picture this. Medical patients meditating and doing yoga in hospitals and medical centers around the country and around the world at the urging of their doctors. Sometimes it's even the doctors who are doing the teaching. Sometimes doctors are taking the program and meditating shoulder to shoulder alongside their patients. Harold Noodleman, a surgeon from El Camino Hospital in Mountain View, California, called one day. He introduced himself as having melanoma and said he feared he did not have long to live. He said he was familiar with meditation and had found it to be personally life-changing. After coming across my book, Full Catastrophe Living, he realized that we had already found a way to do what he had been dreaming of for quite some time, namely to bring meditation into medicine. He said he wanted to facilitate that happening in his hospital in whatever time he had left. El Camino is now one of over 30 hospitals, medical centers, and clinics in the San Francisco area that are offering mindfulness-based stress reduction, or MBSR. MBSR programs are flourishing from Seattle to Miami, from Worcester, Massachusetts, where it began, to San Diego, California, from Whitehorse, Yukon Territory, to Vancouver, Calgary, Toronto, and Halifax, from Hong Kong to Wales, from Mexico to Buenos Aires. There are programs in Cape Town, South Africa, and in Australia and New Zealand. There are longstanding MBSR programs at the medical centers of Duke, Stanford, the University of Wisconsin, the University of Virginia, Jefferson Medical College, and at other prominent medical centers across the country. Increasing numbers of scientists are now conducting clinical studies on the applications of mindfulness in both medicine and psychology. There is even a new therapy to prevent depressive relapse called mindfulness-based cognitive therapy, or MBCT, which has been shown in several clinical trials to be very successful and is generating a great deal of interest in clinical psychology circles. 30 years ago, it was virtually inconceivable that meditation and yoga would find any legitimate role, no less widespread acceptance, in academic medical centers and hospitals. Now it's considered normal. It's not even thought of as alternative medicine, just good medicine. Meditation is no longer something foreign and exotic to our culture. It's now as American as anything else. It has arrived. And none too soon either, given the state of the world and the huge forces impinging on our lives. But please keep one thing in mind. It's not what you think.